time to look at all things medical and ask the pharmacist. And Elizabeth Roddick joins us from New Life Pharmacy. Hello.
Hello, Simon.
And we've got a packed list of things to talk about today. And one of the ones that we're going to talk about, and I don't think many people are aware of this, is that mouth cancer is one of the fastest growing cancers in the UK. And we don't really know anything about it much, do we?
That's right, Simon. Most of the public know about drinking too much and smoking that can cause damage to the lungs and liver. But there's also an increased risk of mouth cancer.
So what are the symptoms then?
It's things like mouth ulcers that just don't clear up. Now, that's different from when you bite your lip or drink something that's too hot and you end up with an ulcer. And that can be treated very simply, local anaesthetic gel from your pharmacist. As I say, it's ulcers that just don't clear up. Or if you become aware of unexplained lumps within the mouth and neck that persist, or red and white patches on the lining of the mouth and tongue. Now, don't worry if you've got numerous white patches on the tongue. That'll probably be thrush. You can always go along and stick your tongue out. The pharmacist can have a look at it. But remember, any worries about unusual lumps or patches, let your dentist have a look in your mouth. He or she will put your mind at rest.
I've also heard that brushing your teeth too vigorously can be detrimental as well.
I think that's more about rubbing the enamel off, Simon. If you think about the motion of an electric toothbrush, it cleans all the areas of the teeth without too much pressure. So yes, you're right, you shouldn't scrub the teeth. Of course, cleaning between the teeth with dental sticks is now recommended, as well as separating your fluoride toothpaste from a mouthwash by about an hour is probably a good idea. And of course, seeing a professional hygienist as often as they suggest, they might suggest to you every 3 or 4 months, depending on how much plaque, that sticky material, bacterial material that you tend to build up on your teeth. They may recommend, as I say, more often, and certainly seeing your dentist once a year is definitely ideal.
What about dentures then? I bet you don't know about them, do you?
Thankfully not at the moment. The dentures should be clean morning and night. You should use a denture brush rather than an ordinary one. And again, ordinary toothpaste is too abrasive. So buy one specifically for dentures. It's also a good idea to take your dentures out at night. There are specific solutions for sleeping dentures, you know, when you're sleeping, steeping the dentures in particular fluids, or even just water. And the reason being that it'll stop the warping if dentures dry out, which can happen. Interestingly, if someone comes into the pharmacy and says they've got a sore mouth and they wear dentures, the first thing I do is send them back to the dentist. It may be just that their dentures are not fitting properly, and that can completely solve the problem.
Well, there you go. Now, on a completely different subject, can you give us some information on joint pain? I mean, most of us, I leave myself out of this, of course, I'm too young.
Of course, but most
people,
young.
Yeah, most people experience this at some point. As we get older, it tends to become more a common thing.
Generally over 45 years of age, Simon, with joint pain, they don't have other symptoms that might suggest another diagnosis, but they tend to have a condition called osteoarthritis. Now, the pharmacist will probably ask the person a few questions. When did the pain start? Does it come on first thing in the morning and ease off, say, in about 30 minutes? Does the joint feel hot? Now, that would mean possibly inflammatory disease and therefore a visit to the doctor. Obviously, has there been an injury where you may need investigation, for example, an X-ray? General tips such as losing weight and exercise are really important for easing joint pain.
What about rubs that are recommended?
It's interesting. There's no evidence that the non-steroidal rubs, things like ibuprofen or diclofenac, you've maybe heard of Voltarol, these are effective. Massaging the gel or cream into the area and using it regularly will help. There are a lot of different types. If one doesn't suit, for example, if one might cause a rash, your pharmacist can easily advise you about another one.
And the Voltarol, you might not be aware of this, or if you are, about Voltarol, because it's absorbed through the skin, isn't it?
It is.
So you perhaps watch for some of the things that you might be taking as well as that.
Yes, I think probably if you're taking medicines themselves, a pharmacist will advise you on whether that's something you should be taking or using. And I was going to talk about the oral side as well, Simon, if that's okay. Things like We talk about taking paracetamol on a regular basis. Now, that's 2 tablets 4 times a day. Also, non-steroidals you're talking about, Voltarol. Voltarol was, in fact, taken off the market in terms of over-the-counter because of possible problems heart-wise. So we now have ibuprofen, which a lot of people will have heard of. Now, clearly, first of all, it causes problems tummy-wise, so it may be advised not to take it. Also, it interferes with a lot of medicine. And also, if you have high blood pressure, it could, in fact, make it worse. So please ask about that in the pharmacy if you're going to buy anything over the counter.
Now, as we know, that you're a holistic practitioner and you like to look outside some of the traditional things. What about alternatives for things like this kind of pain?
Well, I suppose we have to look at the evidence, Simon, and it's not strong for use such as products such as glucosamine, rosehip, turmeric. But what we find is with exercise, people do benefit from these. I think you just need to have a chat with your pharmacist. They will advise you on what, if you want to go down the alternative route, for example, does that mix with the medicines you're on? Now, that's important. So, yes, I think they are worth trying if you want to go down the alternative route, but please ask.
I also think people don't drink enough water. And I think at this time of the year, it gets even worse. Because I'm a great believer that water is a great way of flushing out a lot of these things that build up around your joints and all that sort of thing.
Dehydration, as you know, Simon, is something that most people actually suffer from and they don't realise it. And interestingly, as you get older, you are less aware of the thirst response. So in fact, you're not aware that you're actually needing to drink water. So I think for people generally, as they get older, is just to take water, little sips as often as you can, and then you know you won't be dehydrated.
I used to go at my mum about that because she'd say, have you ever drink? Yeah. She'd, you know, and I'd put it out for her because, yeah, like you're saying, yeah, she wasn't thirsty.
That's right. That's right.
Right, what about online information resources? Are there any things that we can look to?
There's a Versus. It's called Arthritis Leaflet. Now, it's called Keep Moving. It provides support to patients about exercise. There's also a poster showing joint strengthening and different movement exercises. I can't emphasise enough about when you strengthen thighs and arms, then that starts to prevent falls as well as taking weight off joints and making movement easier. There's also an NHS Healthy Weight webpage. Now, that provides interactive tools for assessing weight and links to health eating and living advice. It's a good one.
And I think that also gives you some advice if you're not very mobile, doesn't it, of how to do exercise sitting in a chair sort of thing as well.
I think so. You have to be careful about that. Obviously, you can get a lot of advice from a physiotherapist, for example, or even your own GP. But yes, you can do lots of exercises, even if you're unable to, say, go walking. You can do exercises in the house.
You can actually do it while you're eating. No, that's not. Right, let's have a look at a couple of headlines now. One of them was, drinking tomato juice can reduce your risk of heart disease.
Yeah, this was a Japanese study, but one of the problems is that it was funded by a company that makes tomato juice. So that could be construed as a conflict of interest. The authors did concede that. It was an observational study. Now, I've talked about this before. That looks at what happens with participants before and after an intervention. In this case, giving people tomato juice. It would be better to have had a randomised controlled trial. Now, that's where you have one group taking tomato juice and the other taking a placebo, a product which doesn't contain any properties of the tomato. But that didn't happen in this case. The main thing is no one should know what they're taking in order for the research to really be valid. There were over 500 people who were given as much unsalted tomato juice as they wanted for a year. And the researchers collected diaries after 3 months where people recorded how much tomato juice was consumed every day. The participants had a physical examination at the beginning of the study. They looked at their cholesterol, blood pressure, as well as questions in lifestyle. And the results were, at the end of the study, there were 481 who'd consumed roughly 200 mils of tomato juice daily. There was no difference in the overall blood pressure or cholesterol of the participants overall. But interestingly, those who had high blood pressure, there was a reduction both in the systolic, that's the contracting of the heart, from a 141 to 137, and also the diastolic, the relaxation, from 83 to 80. And those who had high cholesterol, they found that the bad cholesterol, that's the LDL, that was lowered. Now, one of the points we don't know about is how many of these people started medication during the study. That wasn't taken into account. So, yes, tomato juice is a healthy drink, but I'm afraid this study doesn't prove that it will lower your blood pressure, as the headline suggests. But by all means, take it as part of a healthy diet. Of course, just be very careful about how much sugar and salt it contains, clearly.
Does that include Bloody Marys?
Ah, now that's you adding
that's
alcohol.
Yeah. I don't like tomato juice, so there you go.
Oh, I see.
Right, final headline. Swapping one portion of red meat a day for fish or nuts could cut the risk of early death by almost a fifth.
Yep. That was a research study, Simon, with one researcher from China. And researchers used dietary lifestyle information recorded as part of the Nurses' Health Study. Now, that's mostly female nurses. It began in 1976, and the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study, that was mainly male doctors, that began in 1986. And it was examining questionnaires on what people ate over a two-year period. They calculated the risks of death from any cause, for example, those who increase their red meat, including processed meat, by one or more serving a week, and those who reduce their red meat by one or more serving a week and did not change their red meat consumption by at least one serving a week. So there were three parts to it. The results were men and women who increased their red meat consumption by more than 3.5 servings a week had 10% increased risk of death from any cause. Now, eating less red meat in itself had no effect on people's chance of death. However, when the researchers looked at the impact of swapping one portion of red meat per day with one portion of nuts, chicken, fish, dairy products, vegetables, they found the risk did go down. Certainly, eating more processed meat, we know now, particularly proved a higher risk of ill health. So I think, basically, we have a problem here. If you eat too much red meat, particularly processed meat, you have an increased risk of death. But if we look at current advice, and that's to limit the consumption and to eat plenty of vegetables, fruit, pulses, beans and whole grains, I think that's what you need to do. Don't get fixated with, oh, I can't eat enough red meat or I can't eat that red meat. No, it's just as part of a healthy diet. You eat some. What's been happening recently is we've been eating too much meat. We've been eating too many processed foods in terms of meat. And that's where the problems have arisen.
I used to look back on my mum and dad's generation when my dad was born in the 20s. And, you know, the diet was a lot...
simpler?
Simpler, yeah. And mm-hmm. and even in going up into the 50s, you didn't have probably red meat every day. You certainly didn't have chicken and fish every day. So you ate more of those, less of those type of things and perhaps had more vegetables. But it was a simpler, less processed diet. And, you know, you still see some of these... a lot of people live into a ripe old age. Whereas we are living longer now, though, aren't we?
Yes, but I'm not sure if we're living healthier.
Yeah.
Obviously, in my pharmacy, I see older people who perhaps are not of that generation, who simply are perhaps carrying too much weight. They are eating quite different diets. You're quite correct. It's more processed food in the diet, and I'm sure that's having an effect on health.
Well, if you've got any opinions or any questions on anything we've chatted about today, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in contact with me here via the website or by email. Or you can get in touch with the New Life Pharmacy through the website. It's
New Life Healthcare, but New Life Pharmacy. I've also got another one, but newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
What's the other one?
newlifehealthcare.co.uk.
That's got a lot of good advice for...
That's things like vitamin D.
Yeah, and if you're you know, a slightly more mature woman, there's a lot of information on there on that website. And you can get in touch with Elizabeth by phone.
01416376000.
Again?
Thank you.
Do it again.
01416376000.
Elizabeth Roddick, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Simon.